We are going to begin in verse number 25 of 1 Kings chapter 15. Up until this point, we have been looking basically each night at just one king. We've been dominated with, after Solomon, with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. We've been dominated with Abijam, and we've been dominated with Asa, and we have been looking at, up until now, the kings that are in the southern part of the nation of Israel, the tribes of Judah. This would be the kingly line after Rehoboam. We looked last week at a king named Asa, and we spent time with him. We will reference him tonight, especially here at the beginning and then at the end. And Asa was a king for 41 years. If you remember the testimony about Asa, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And because of his obedience, he saw the blessing of God. When you come to 1 Kings chapter 15, you look at verse number 23, and we know that Asa had a life that really did honor the Lord, but he didn't finish well. In the end of his life, he turned to a position of unbelief. Matter of fact, in verse 23, verse 23 says, "The rest of all the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet." Prior to that, we learned that Asa, when he was first announced as king, that he had a heart to follow the Lord, and he walked in the ways of the Lord, and God blessed him in that. And if you look at verse number 10 of chapter 15, you'll see that he reigned for 41 years. Verse number 11 is the declaration that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. When you go to 2 Chronicles and you begin to read a fuller version of his life, you know that as he walked with the Lord, he saw great victories and had a heart of obedience. But something happened in Asa's life, and Asa turned from a position of relying upon the Lord to relying upon man or human invention or human ability. And remember, when Baasha came against him, he made a league with Ben-Hadad of Syria, which he should not have done. And even though he did ascertain a victory in that battle, it was humanly manipulated. It was not to the extent or fulfilling of a victory that God would have given to him. And God was displeased with him. So God sent a prophet to him. And the prophet confronted Asa. And Asa, instead of humbling himself and repenting, got angry and got enraged and lashed out against the prophet and so on. And God struck him with a disease in his feet. And the Bible said that he had the disease, I think, for 2 years. And he never one time sought the Lord in this disease. He only sought to the physician. So somewhere in Asa's life, at the end of his life, he got into the dangerous position of unbelief. And it cost him tremendously. It cost him his life. It cost him some precious moments there with the Lord. If you look at 1 Kings 15, verse number 24, the Bible says, "And Asa slept with his fathers." That means he was died and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. "And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead." Now, right there, when we come into verse number 25, it says, "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah." Now, I don't want you to lose me, because you need to understand this. So what the Bible has done, all the way back over here in verse number 10, we were introduced to Asa. We were told that he reigned 41 years. In 2 Chronicles, it walks us through those 41 years. When we come back to 1 Kings, in verse number 24, Asa dies, his son Jehoshaphat comes over, and the Bible kind of cuts and makes a parenthesis. Now remember, the whole time After Solomon died, his boy Rehoboam, the kingdom split. So Rehoboam went to the south, Jeroboam took 10 tribes to the north. So far, we've been talking about the Rehoboam dynasty down in the south with Asa and those kings. And you're going to find that the kings of Judah in the south, they weren't all perfect, but they had a lot of them that walked with the Lord. Now, in verse number 25, we transition to the northern kingdom kings. Now, if you have a pen, I wrote in my Bible, I circled the number 25. I drew an arrow out to the side, and I wrote transition to the northern Israel till the end of the book. So from here all the way to chapter number 22, now we are going to talk about the kings that are up in the north, those 10 tribes. If you understand that, say yes. Okay. But here's what the Bible does. In verse 25, it says, "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of who?" Okay, so here's what the Bible does. So far, it introduced us to Asa. It gave us a snapshot of the 41 years of his reign. It's already communicated his death. And Jehoshaphat, which we'll pick up later, is the king. Now, the author takes us all the way back to the third year of Asa's reign. So we have now come 38 years, or I'm sorry, the second year. We've come now 39 years back into Asa's life. We know he's dead. We know what happened. We know he walked with the Lord. But there's 41 years of what was happening in the south. Now the Bible's going to go back and catch us up what was going on those 41 years to the north. You understand that? Okay. Now, Asa reigned for 41 years. During the course of that 41 years, the northern tribes had 6 kings. Southern tribe, 1 king. Northern tribe, 6 kings. Their names are Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, Ahab. All right? So we're going to go through and we're going to look at these 6 kings. Some of them only have a verse or two. All of them have a consistency and a unity here that none of them were right with the Lord. And what you're going to see during these 41 years is the succession of what took place as they followed Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was their father. Jeroboam was their king. And the Bible said that Jeroboam had made all Israel to sin. And you're going to see their sin, and you're going to see the consequence of their sin. They're going to be assassinated. It's going to be bloody. There's going to be deceit. There's trickery. There's all these things in the lives of these 6 kings. And each king has a lesson for us to learn tonight. So I'm going to walk you through the kings, and then I'm going to give you a lesson from each one of them while we do that. And then hopefully I'm going to be able to come in at the end and give you one dominating thought where you're going to look and have to make a choice as to what you want in your life and in your home. Look, if you would, at verse 25, 1 Kings chapter 15. "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil," underline that phrase, "and he did evil," circle the word evil. Every time we come to it, I want you to highlight it. It's going to be important for the last point of the message. "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the way of his father and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin." All right, so Nadab followed his dad. His dad led the nation in sin. Nadab followed his dad, and Nadab continued to lead the nation in sin. Verse 27. "And Baasha," now this name should sound familiar from last week, "the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him." That's against Nadab. "And Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the 3rd year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead." All right? So Nadab is assassinated. Verse 29. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed them. And then there's a phrase that I underlined. According unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin, by his provocation, wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Hold your hand right there. Flip one page back to chapter 14, if you would, please. And look, if you would, at verse number 5. In this context, you remember Jeroboam's son is dying. And you remember Jeroboam sent his wife to see the man of God and said, disguise yourself. And when you go in to see him, let him tell us what's going on with our boy. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet and she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in his eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made the other gods molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung. Pastor, is dung what I think it is? Yeah. Verse number 10, till it all be gone. So Jeroboam sinned against God, and God said, Jeroboam, the consequence of your sin is this. I'm going to send a man, he's going to destroy your whole house. And it's going to be so destroyed, the only way I can compare it is when you come to a pile of dung and you want it out of your property, you dig down, you get all of the dung, and you throw it out. I'm going to dig down, and I'm going to get all of your family, and I'm going to throw it out. Now, if you come back to 1 Kings chapter 15, and you look at verse number 29... that is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And the Bible says in verse number 29, and it's going to say it again in another passage when we come to it in a moment, according unto the saying of the Lord. Lesson for the church. There hath not failed one word of all that God has promised. If the book says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If the book says it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But when God gives His word, God keeps His word. Amen? According to the word of the Lord. Sometimes in our human minds, we think that we can manipulate a situation or it won't happen with us, or because it doesn't happen right away, that somehow we've escaped whatever. Listen, you and I, we need to be afraid to disobey, and we need to be encouraged to obey. The very fact that when God gives a promise, God will always keep that promise according to the word of the Lord. I think Jeroboam thought at that time, I'm all powerful, I'm the king, there's no way you're going to root my family up like dung and throw it out. And God did exactly what God said he was going to do. Now, that can either encourage you or that can terrify you. If you're trite with God tonight and you're in a sinful position and you're going against the word of God, I promise you, you will not succeed. But if you're in a situation where you're standing upon a promise and you're trusting God, and the book said if you did this, God would do this. If you trusted here, he would do this. Then I promise you, it will happen. The word of God will not return void. I love that about the word of God. Nadab learned that if God said it, it's going to happen. Keep going. Let's find our second king. His name is Baasha. He is the one here that has, once he had smote Nadab, he takes over. If you look at verse 33 of chapter 15, it says, in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah. 24 years the guy reigned. Now the first guy only reigned 2 years. Verse 34, and he did evil. There's the word evil again. Circle, highlight, underline the word evil. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sins wherewith he made Israel to sin. Okay, so this guy takes over, and he continues to walk against the Lord. Pick up, if you would, at verse number 1, chapter 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying... By the way, let me just say this. Whenever you and I are in a disobedient position from God's word, it's of the mercy of God that he sends his word to us to correct us. God is extending his mercy here to Baasha in correcting him. And look what God tells Baasha in verse number 2. You've heard this. You heard it a chapter ago. For as much as I, who's that I? God. For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sin, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And by the way, it does happen. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat. Him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. And if you were to go on, you will find out that that did happen. And you can read about that in a different part of the word of God. Lesson for us found in verses 2 and 3. God said, I exalted you and I can take it away. You need to understand something. God can exalt, but God can take away. God can give you a job, and God can take that job. God can give you children, God can take those children. God can give you whatever, some kind of promotion, and God can take it away. God said, I exalted you, and oh yeah, I can take it away. Reminded me of a passage in 1 Peter chapter number 5 when it said, God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. God can either give you grace or God can resist you. God gives you a job. It's a great job. It's a promotion. You get all this. But I've seen God give people jobs and promote them, and then all of a sudden they begin to live for themselves. They begin to dishonor the Lord in some way. They don't trust the Lord with his tithe. They begin to do this or that, and I've seen God just take that job right away from them. I've seen God give you a gift of music, but you don't use your voice for the Lord. I've seen God just take that right away. I've seen God take, he can exalt, and he will take away. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose the blessing of God upon my life. And God said, I raised you out of the dust of the ashes. I'm the one that gave you that. I'm the one that blessed you there. And you totally rejected that understanding. And so now, because of that, I'm just going to take it away from you. Now, hallelujah, praise God. The one thing he will never take away from us is our salvation. But God can exalt and God can take away. Pastor, we used to have. Things used to be different. I used to have this kind of authority. I used to be in this position. We used to drive this. We used to eat like this. We used to do this. But it seems like that's all gone away. I want to ask you a question. God exalts and God takes away. Powerful application. He did that because he was not walking after the way of the Lord. Let's go down to verse number 8. And we'll see, we'll meet our next king. His name is Elah there in verse number 8. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah. By the way, the word evil is mentioned again in verse number 7. I want you to mark that. I'm going to need you to have them all marked when we get there. Verse number 7, for all the evil that Baasha had done, provoking the Lord. Verse number 8, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him. This is a very interesting verse. As he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk. In the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. Nadab, he learned a lesson that if God said it, it's going to come true according to the word of God. Baasha learned a lesson that God exalts and God takes away. Elah learned a lesson. And he learned a lesson of a distraction, of the distraction that sin can be in our lives. Here is a man who has been given the throne, by God, and he's in this house drinking himself drunk. And he's so drunk that he doesn't even notice that his trusted captain is conspiring against him. You know, I wrote down on my paper, lesson for the church. You better understand the dangerous, the distraction that sin can be in our lives. Not just drunkenness, all sin. I have seen men and women walking with the Lord begin to drink themselves drunk or begin to be distracted on the internet, in the chat room. With the magazine, with the relationship, with the alcohol, with the money, with the friendship, with some freedom. And they begin to get distracted in this drunkenness and they don't see the evil that begins to creep up on them and creep up in their home. And pretty soon they get so focused on this distraction that they're just vulnerable. The Bible talked about that young man going after that harlot, that a dart would be piercing his liver. That when he got to the end of that, there would be a dangerous position. Let me tell you something. It's dangerous to text and drive. Amen? But it's dangerous to let sin be a distraction in your life. We should keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. What has your time tonight? What has your concentration? If your time, your imagination, your concentration, your logic, your fantasy, if you live in some kind of alternate mind kind of position where you function at work and you function in your home, but you're totally consumed in this one area, you better understand you're on dangerous ground. Elah was drinking himself drunk, living it up, and wham! And life was over to him. Number 4, Zimri, verse 11. And it came to pass, when he began to reign, this is Zimri, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left him not one that pisseth against a wall, and that's talking about the men, neither of his kinfolk nor of his friends. I do believe that if we went down here, we went back to verse number 3, that's what God promised and God did it. Verse number 12, thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin, and provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 20th and 7th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days. 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. Now that's where Zimri was. And it came to pass, verse 18, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire, and he died. He killed himself. For his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? How many of you out here, this is the first time you've ever read or heard about these kings and all that's going on with it. This is kind of new ground for you. Sure, wonderful. Zimri learned a lesson. It's written in the book of Numbers. It goes something like this. Be sure your sin will find you out. He's killed Elah, and he's got this whole thing arranged, but word had begun to spread. And in the camp, they'd begun to hear about the assassination and the coup that he has planned. And kind of before he could get it all arranged, he got found out. How many have ever been found out of your sin? I remember the one time I said, now, Lord, if you just don't let my dad find out this time, I'll never do it again. God didn't answer that prayer. Be sure your sin will find you out. Can I just remind you about something? You cannot hide from God. Can't. We think we can. We like to think we can. We live in a video camera age. We've put some video cameras up in our church. You may have noticed them. We've got them in the hallways. We've got them in the lobby. We've got them outside a little bit. We were having some vandalism outside and a little bit of vandalism inside. And we got kids on the property now, so we kind of like to know who's walking the hallways and whatever. And so it is kind of eerie for me to come into this building now in my pajamas, which I do sometimes. You're not here when I do that. But I come sometimes in my pajamas because I need something quick. I'm like, Bev, do you think anybody's over at the church? No, they're not over there. Sure enough, I drive by and I'll see Malcolm's car. I'm like, if I go under my pajamas, he may kill me. So I'm just going to drive back around or whatever. But I'll sneak in and get something. But I know I'm on video camera. You know, you can't even drive down our streets anymore, and you're on video camera. Every stoplight you come to, look up, and you'll see a video camera. Any answer, but we live that way. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be watched, and I'm innocent. Sure would save us a lot of hurt if we'd live like that when it comes to the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. Learned a hard lesson. Matter of fact, it got so real to him, he committed suicide. Let me say this. I don't care what sin you're involved in. When it gets found out, there's no sin worth killing yourself. Preachers, they get found with a woman and they just end their life. They think, well, I can never be what I was or this or that. They get found out in some sin, and it's businessmen, husbands, fathers, wives, whatever. Sometimes they get in a position where they think that that sin is just all it is, and they're going to have to pay, and it's just too much, and it's better off just to end my life. Number one, if you're not saved, you don't blow yourself out of problems. You blow yourself right to hell. Number two, there's not a sin in the world that Jesus Christ did not die for that cannot be forgiven. Pastor, my wife could never forgive me. It doesn't matter. Pastor, my kids could never forgive me. Who cares? When David sinned against Bathsheba, or sinned and did that with Bathsheba, and he wrote in Psalm 51, he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." He didn't care about anybody else until he first got it right with God. And God forgave him, and then God enabled him to go and make it right. I'm not saying you don't make it right, but we get such emotional and dangerous imagination because we're worried about human forgiveness. The ultimate forgiveness you better worry about is with God. And God will forgive you. Man, that's awesome, the fact that he will do that. Zimri killed himself. Killed himself, probably went straight to hell. Look at Omri. Omri is there, and Omri takes over in verse number 21. The people were divided of Israel into two parts there, and they followed Omri, prevailed against the people that followed Tibnah, the son of Ginath. So Tibnah died, and Omri reigned, okay? In verse 23, in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill Samaria. So the guy builds Samaria. That's all over the New Testament. Verse 25, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the way, did I tell you to mark evil in verse number 19? Mark evil in verse number 19, for his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. But Omri, in verse 25, wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to get to anger with their vanities. Goes on and tells about his death. In Omri, we learn a lesson of the progression of sin. The progression of sin. Sometimes we get in our mindset that I will just commit this one sin and it won't go any further. I got news for you. You cannot, nor can I, control sin. Only one person controls sin. That's the Spirit of God. Amen? Sin will always progress. It will always, it gets boring. Sin gets boring. A man will get bored looking at something. He's going to want to touch it. A woman's going to get bored thinking about something. She's going to want to act upon it. You and I both know that we can sin, and that sin reaches a part where it no longer has an effect, so we need more. We need heavy dose, more drinks, more time, more this. And pretty soon, we look back at the path that we've gone, and that sin will rush us in a progression that we'll get to a point where we'll look back and we won't even recognize ourselves. I'll never forget what my mom told me. She said, "Tommy, your grandfather was a drunk. He's saved now, but he messed our lives up horribly." And she said, "You'll never be a drink if you don't take the, or you'll never be a drunk if you don't take the first drink." There's a progression to that. And Omri taught us that. And it says that he did worse than all of them. And you can sense the kings are ratcheting up. Keep going. Let me give you the next one. We're almost done here. Verse number 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel and in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Okay, so here's more progression. But Ahab, he does evil in all that was before him. And look at verse number 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing, a light thing, for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Baal. That's Baal was a false god, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. We're going to read about that in 17 with Elijah. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And in his days did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. You remember they were told never to build Jericho. It was a curse. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub. He paid a high price with his boys according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. So when you come here to Ahab, there's a lesson there. He had foolish presumption. To him, it became a light thing to sin against God. A light thing. It didn't bother him. There wasn't no, the conscience had been seared. There was no more conviction. It wasn't troubling for him to go into sin. It was just a light thing. Let me tell you something. If you're in a position where it's a light thing to sin against God, you're in a dangerous position. Well, you know, it just doesn't, that just doesn't bother me anymore. It's just the way of life now for me, and it's just a light thing. I don't even think about that. I know, but I'm going to do all of this. The Bible says that we're to keep sin exceedingly sinful. God help the person that gets in a position where it doesn't even bother us to sin against God. By the way, a Christian can get there. Light thing. Just a light thing to worship false gods. It's a light thing to do that. Let me just put it down in your vernacular. It's a light thing to go to the theater and sit there and watch them strip their clothes off, take God's name in vain, this immorality, and oh, it's got great effects and a great storyline. We just watch the whole thing. See, because I don't think you were getting it. I think you thought, I'm serious with the Lord. It's a light thing when you say GD. It's a light thing to say, oh my God. Let me tell you something. God never thinks it's light when you take his name in vain. Now do you get the picture? That was Ahab. Just a light thing. Let me show you something. Come, if you would, to chapter 15. And let's go back. Number 26. And he did evil. That's one. Verse 34, and he did evil. That's two. Chapter 16, verse number 7, for all the evil. That's three. Help me. Verse 19, chapter 16, for his sins which he sinned in doing evil. That's four. And look, if you would, at verse number 25. But Omri wrought evil. That's five. And Ahab did evil. Six times. Go, hold your hand here. Do something for me. Go, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Help me, Lord, here. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. I don't have all these right, but I'm going to get real close. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had, what's that word? Rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him, what class? Look at verse number 7 at the end. And he hath given us rest on every side. Flip over, if you would, to verse number 15 of chapter 15. And the Lord gave them rest. Look, if you would, at verse number 19. And there was no more war or rest. Now watch. Asa, 41 years. Rest, 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 rest. The same 41 years. Evil, 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 evil. No more war. Nothing but war. Which one do you want? Rest or war? So the choice of rest then comes with the choice of obedience. So I think you need to look at your home, and I need to look at my home. And our homes are represented by these dynasties. Pastor, there is nothing but war and assassination and conspiracy and hatred and chaos and division in my home. Then there's evil somewhere. There's evil somewhere. Pastor, we're enjoying rest. We're enjoying blessing. Then there's obedience somewhere. I don't know about you, but I want to have a home that has God's rest upon it. If you do, say amen. You look at those two dynasties and you look at those two directions and you think, why in the world would they not have repented and enjoyed the rest and the unity and the blessing and the victory that God would have given to them? Because they had evil hearts. And they went that direction. And sometimes we look at people's lives and we think, why wouldn't they humble themselves? Why wouldn't they obey? Why wouldn't they believe? Why wouldn't they trust? Why wouldn't they put themselves in this position? I want that for my home. That's a good comparison as to the kind of home, kind of marriage, kind of kids, kind of spirit that we want in our lives. And it comes through obedience by God. Or we can walk against him. But if you're going to walk against him, you're going to reap that. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We'll continue next week. Let's have our prayer.